Thursday, September 13th, Unity celebrates World Day of Prayer. And this particular year marks the 25th anniversary of that particular celebration. And thousands of people around the world and communities are celebrating that particular day because we know when we get a group of people together to pray, things shift, things change. And so we will see Thursday surrounded in prayer. And we're doing here Wednesday evening a special service, and then also Thursday morning at 10. And if you ever have the opportunity to be down at the village when they do that, it's just awe-inspiring. They do a candlelight walk, and then in the Silent Unity Chapel, people are reading, just very quietly whispering the names of people who have written in for prayer. So a very, very beautiful situation. This year's theme is A Courage to Heal. You would think it wouldn't take courage to say, I want to be healed, I will be healed. But in fact, it does, because when we're healed, our lives change. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to talk a little bit about prayer and how important it is to our spiritual life. There's a problem, though, in trying to say just a few words about prayer. There's too much information. I know in my library, I have a couple shelves of books by different people on prayer and how to pray and centering prayer and meditation. There's too many books and too many teachers. And so I thought, just out of curiosity, I Googled, I went on Amazon and I asked, how many books do you have on prayer? And they had, for starters, 50,000 books on the topic of prayer. So unless you want to be here till next December, I need to condense some of that information to its essence so that you can find bits and pieces and nuggets in it that are useful to you. So I wanted to start by telling you a story. At my first church, I formed our first prayer chaplain group, and it was a very diverse group. Different socioeconomic levels in their jobs, they had all different types of leadership abilities and power and education. And what was so neat is that half of the group were men, and two of the fellas that were in that first group were policemen. They wanted to learn how to pray and wanted to learn more about prayer. And if you asked those candidates, why do you want to become a prayer chaplain? Because it is a commitment. I mean, there is time and work involved. They would give two reasons. They said they wanted to learn more about prayer, you know, to become better prayers. But what was most important, more than learning to become good prayers, they wanted to be able to give comfort to others in our spiritual community, to support them. And this is no different than our chaplains here. I mean, that is their driving force. Now, as I say, this is quite a commitment of time and energy because there's several days for training. And then there's mandatory, at least the way I did it back then, there were mandatory monthly meetings. And they had to be available for services. And we did three services on a Sunday. So pretty much chaplains were always on call. And then in addition to that, they had to make a commitment to their own prayer life. But the real driving force to volunteering for this special ministry, as I say, yes, it was a lot of time. Yes, it was a lot of effort. Yes, it was a commitment. But that was their way of ministering to their fellow congregants, to their spiritual family. So at the end of the first year, we did a debrief. How was the experience? What did you learn? How are you different? And almost to a person, they say, you know, we took on this ministry to give to others, and it was so rewarding. But what they hadn't expected in doing this work and thinking about others and giving to others was how much deeper their own prayer life was and how they had grown and matured spiritually. And at the end of the year, they all decided to sign up again and do it yet for another year. Some are still doing it, and this has been years. Many years later, those chaplains have gone on to do amazing things because they are so grounded now in their spirituality to serve and also to minister. Prayer work isn't just about us and our growth, developing a prayer life. Praying with others is a very intimate experience. To those of you who are or have been chaplains, and someone has said, please pray with me, you know what an amazing connection that is. And it's also, in addition to that intimacy with the other person that's asking you to pray, is a renewed intimacy with God, because that has to come in the whole process. You know, in unity, we hold Jesus as a way shower. We look at his teachings, we look at the parables, we look at the miracles he performed, and mostly we look at his life, because he taught us a lot by his example. And he gives us examples how to live our lives, to heal our lives and heal other people, and also to do the miracles he did, because he said, these things you will do also, and greater things will you do. He wasn't just saying, I've got the power, you know, and strut around and do his miracles and do his healings. He was here as an example for us to show us our potential and possibilities of what we too can do if we develop this spiritual connection with our God. Whatever name or whatever essence you want to call that, these things you will do, and greater things will you do. We have story after story in Scripture of Jesus going apart to pray. When he was tired, he'd withdraw and go up into the hills, and he'd be with his God. You know, when he wrestled with life, when people were trying to trick him and cause him problems, he would withdraw and go into prayer. Always before his teachings, and especially before his miracles, his life was saturated with prayer, because he knew he could. He said, myself, I can do nothing. Pretty awesome when you think about, here is this amazing person with all the crowds around him doing wondrous works, and he's saying, I can't do anything by myself. It's the Father that does them through me. There's no one right way to pray. I know when I was growing up, I learned rote prayer, and so that was what I did, because I, even though I went to a religious grade school, high school, and part of college, that's kind of what they taught. They didn't want you going off on a tangent praying. However, there was a right way to pray, and this is it. The reason for praying that we have to remember is not to impress or get the attention of some God out there. And that's kind of how we were taught when we were younger, and we still do that to some extent. The real reason for praying is to not impress somebody out there, it's to impress us. Bet you never thought about that. It's to raise us to a level of consciousness where we realize that because we're already one with God, every good thing already exists. That's why Jesus says the Father already knows what you want and what you need. It's for us to raise our own consciousness. So the big question, what is prayer? Big topic. Mary Menon Morrissey, a very powerful minister out on the West Coast, said, prayer is the contemplation of the facts of life from a higher point of view. Remember how we talked last week about healing prayer and healing experiences, that doing that, isn't that interesting, kind of pulls us back from what's going on here and pulls us back into an observer position, so that we, and again, the attempt is to look at things from a different point of view. So Mary is saying prayer takes us to that place where we're looking at things from the highest point of view. Joel Goldsmith, all of you know Joel Goldsmith, a powerful contemporary prayer and healer, said we need to pray from the infinite. Okay, now that's a different idea. We're not praying to, we're praying from something. Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind, religious science, called healing prayer treatment. Prayer is not for the purpose of making things happen, he says. Our job is to provide an avenue through which healing may happen. So we're just a conduit. He also used to say, which I always used to love, was treat and move your feet, meaning you can pray till the cows come home, but if you don't do anything around those prayers, again, nothing happens. Treatment is for both ourselves and whoever we're praying with. So it's to provide an avenue, a vehicle for that power to come through us to do the healing. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all will be given to you. That's what he was talking about. Once we seek that, once we move into that consciousness and that frame of mind, everything else comes. And I found this Hasidic prayer. I absolutely adore this, and I have to share it with you. It says, as long as you believe that God is only in heaven and does not fill the earth, let your words be few. Only when you come to know that you too contain his presence, only then can you begin to pray. So what this prayer is saying is, and is reminding us about, that there needs to be that awareness, that connection, that willingness. And once that connection is made, then that's true prayer. So we worry about proper form sometimes, or why we pray, or how to pray, or what about the words. I remember when I was in ministerial school, we would start each class with prayer, and the instructor would ask one of the candidates to get up and pray us in. And whenever they asked for that, I'd always be looking, you know, kind of in my purse, kind of up at the ceiling tiles. I didn't want to volunteer because, again, even though I had been in Unity a while, to get up and pray in front of all these, we had a lot of powerful prayers in our class. I was very self-conscious. I was very intimidated by that. Finally, I got over that, but boy, that it was hard. If I had gotten up and did a rope prayer, that was one thing, but to have to say those words, and what it was really saying to me as I look back on it was that I was not really plugged in. I was not really connected. If I'd been connected, I wouldn't have had to worry about those words. So, bottom line is, all that matters is that we spend some conscious time striving to expand that experience of God. So the purpose of prayer isn't about asking for things. The purpose of prayer, first and foremost, is to develop a connection, to raise an awareness, to develop a consciousness, so that that divine power and presence that surrounds and saturates everything can infuse us and everything we do. With that connection, we can observe our everyday from a higher point of view, because we're now seeing through new eyes and new wisdom. With that connection, we can form an intimacy with that indwelling presence. And it is a very intimate. Why do you think in some of the Psalms and some of the Hebrew scriptures, they refer to the relationship of a bride and a bridegroom, whether it's a man or a woman that they're talking about. That relationship with their God, with Yahweh, is made parallel to the relationship between a bride and a bridegroom. And with that connection and that consciousness, we can now be a conduit for healing. So, lots of quotes, lots of theories, lots of ideas. What are the elements that are really necessary to start this whole process? As we say, lots of ways to pray. Everyone experiences God differently. I would never be a whirling dervish. I think it's very beautiful. That's how they put themselves into a meditative state. I'd probably trip over my feet, and that would be so much for that connection. But there are some broad guidelines that we can remember when we're thinking about prayer and how to start this process, or even if we've been in the process a while, to be able to stop and try something a little different. So the first step, oh, you're going to love this, is surrender. Everybody goes, ooh, you know, when they hear that word. And really what it is, it's a willingness on our part. Surrender is difficult. I don't care where you are in your spiritual journey. Surrender is difficult. And so we start by being willing to surrender, willing to just let go. Because when we're holding on, when we bring stuff from here into this now, what's going to be an intimate time, we're dragging the past with us. We're trying to direct where we want the future to go. So as I say, simple concept, not always easy to do. But our willingness to surrender, our desire to move into prayer to deepen this process, is a huge first step. Okay, so for surrender. The second step is be still. I remember one time I was in Hobby Lobby, in among the artificial flowers, because we were doing some decorating here. And I got this emergency phone call. Someone that I knew from this congregation was going into surgery. Now, I try, whenever possible, to pray with people, either in person or on the phone, before they go into surgery. And this was totally, I didn't even know she was in the hospital. And so they were going in doing some really serious surgery, and she called. She said, would you pray with me? There I am with my head in the flowers and the phone on my ear, praying with her. And she had told the orderlies, don't take me down to surgery yet. I'm praying, you know. And fortunately, her doctor was a very spiritual individual, and he felt that was important, and he held up the surgery so that she could be prayed in, prayed up, whatever you want to say about it. And then they went into surgery. So when I say be still, that again is a state of mind, because sometimes, I mean, I remember with the prayer champs at this other church, they'd be in the parking lot and they'd be trying to get into their car, and people would come up to them and they'd say, would you pray with me? And so what it requires is stopping, taking a breath, and centering and stilling yourself in that moment. And the more you do of this, the easier it is, the faster you can drop into that beautiful, intimate, connected state of consciousness. And so in this present moment, I am still. I am open. I am surrendered. I am willing to now be part of this prayer process. Open to divine possibilities. I've seen some absolutely amazing stuff that I could have never in a million years anticipated or predicted or prayed for. As I say, take a breath, take a moment, be in that silent place where spirit can possess us. If we're constantly on our phones, on the computers, jabbering away, that doesn't work. Again, that can be difficult, but the more we do, the easier it is. And then The third phase of this prayer process is let God. Whether our time in this stillness is 2 minutes or 30 minutes, however long, don't judge it. Sometimes we don't feel there's a change or a shift right then. But Spirit is working. Spirit is doing the healing work that needs to be done both in us and for the other individual. So we're now in this state of higher consciousness. And I can't remember who the author was who called that, when we make that connection, the glow of prayer. I love that. Something shifts. It's not like the earth moves, you know, it's just, you click in, you're plugged in and you know it. Again, it can be like that, or it can be a long time. And that glow, once we come out of that prayer process, can now trickle over into all the parts of our life. It can't not do that, because we're different once we've made that connection. That glow, that connection, is where we're allowing ourselves to be worked on by Spirit. And what's important is, when we're in that connection, when we're in that glow, any words that we do speak, not that we have to speak words, because in true prayer, if I'm praying with someone, I don't need to say words. The other person generally needs to hear the words, but I don't need to say the words, because Spirit is now moving heaven and earth to make things happen and making that connection. Any words that I do say once I'm in that connection and glow time are not my words. That's what's so wonderful. Where I used to be all uptight about, will I say the right words, or am I saying the right thing, or what do I say? That goes away, because the connection is not me. The words that we speak are driven by the essence of that connection with Spirit. And that's where the real power comes from. Prayer is easy. It takes some work, like any spiritual endeavor. You know, we've got to move and flex those spiritual muscles. So first step is surrender and be willing and open to this process. Second is to find a place or a time to be still. Sitting, standing, posture, none of that makes any difference. I just find it just easy to take a breath, and as I exhale, be still. And then the third is let God, you know, wait for that connection, wait for that glow of Spirit. As we do this, as we practice, our lives are going to change. They can't not. Our behaviors will change, because we're now looking at what's going on from a higher point, the highest point of view. And we have that higher consciousness. So, three simple but not necessarily easy steps, but easy to remember, so that whenever you say, gee, it's 10:45, I think I'll pray, all you have to do is say, I'm open to the process, take a breath, be still, and then open yourself to the work of Spirit.